Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey, Carlo, what is something that an economic developer that's been in the industry for some time, what is something that they could do to kind of propel their career to the next level?
You know, Nick, we've done a lot of thinking about this in that middle stage of career. Once you learn a little bit about economic development and find yourself growing in your position and in your role within the organization, can be a tricky time for economic developers because you're going beyond the technical aspects of your job to how do you lead within your organization, which often means leading up, down, sideways, and everywhere. So we have created a program called Thrive, which is really designed for people who are kind of managing in that middle stage of their career. And it's a super exciting program, super exciting opportunity for people to network with other people in their same stage of career and get some useful tools and techniques in their tool belt for navigating that really stage of their life. So Thrive is taking place, it's actually a 6-month program, but it meets twice in person. The first meeting is on August 19th and 20th in Chicago, and then they will have some virtual meetings in between, but meet again in person in Charleston when we're there for economics in December on the 4th and 5th.
Awesome. That sounds really great.
Welcome to the America's Jobs Teams podcast. I'm Nick Riashi, and I am so excited to share today's interview with James Chavez. James is the president and CEO of South Carolina Power Team, where he has led the organization since 2013. He has over 25 years of experience in economic development, and he shares some incredible stories and insights about his leadership career. So let's listen in. All right. Well, you know, I want to just dive right in here, James. What is the biggest challenge that is facing leaders today?
I really struggled with this question originally, but then I remembered something that I talk about when I have the opportunity to meet with local leadership groups or Leadership South Carolina. But, you know, the biggest challenge I think is that there's a lack of people that are willing to take on leadership roles today. The era of these community builders in the 40s, 50s, 60s that were typically men, they were gone in the mornings, they were gone in the evenings. They did stuff on the weekends to grow their community. And today it's just not that way. Their kids are saying, you know, look, my dad wasn't at my ball games. He wasn't at my dance recital. He didn't come to my school events, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be there for my kids. So I think, you know, for today's community leaders, cultivating the next generation of leadership and identifying the right people to sit in those seats, I think is super, super critical. And that's every community across the country. That's the biggest challenge I see.
That's really interesting. That's certainly the first time we've heard, you know, that type of advice. And I really appreciate that. So to kind of follow up on that, someone that's going into leadership for the first time, what do they do? If they're going to do it differently, what types of advice would you give to someone that's going into a leadership position for the first time?
Listen, don't talk so much. One of the biggest mistakes that I made when I took my first job and my first CEO job in South Georgia was I got asked to speak at Rotary. About 3 weeks into my tenure there, I just thought, I've arrived. So I got up there and spouted out a bunch of stuff that really I couldn't even tell you what I was talking about. But the local university president came to my office that afternoon, and he was very direct and said, you had no business being up there speaking about your vision for the community. You don't even know the community yet. And I've never forgotten that lesson. My two jobs after that, I have really focused on making sure that my first 100 days, I am out beating the bushes, trying to meet with people that love us, don't like us, don't want growth, whoever they are, and asking them the same series of questions and giving them the opportunity to be heard. So talk less and listen, especially your first 100 days. That really can help shape at least the initial direction you should be going as an executive.
That's such a great piece of advice. So, you know, tell me a story. So you said, listen, who is someone that you've listened to that has helped you become a better leader? And what characteristic did they have that you've now emulated into your career?
I would say Pastor Terry in Clarksville, Tennessee. Pastor Terry led a small African-American church there and was just a community leader that was all over the place. But I went through a period there politically that was pretty tough. I had a mayor that really wanted me gone. She wanted somebody else in my role. And I really veered from my path and what I had done to be successful up until that point. So sitting down with Pastor Terry one day, he just kind of spoke the truth to me. He's like, you know, you've walked this path. Don't be somebody you're not. Stay true to who you are and focus on the things that got you here. And the other thing is, you know, I was in such a bad place, mentally, physically, spiritually. The other thing that he gave me was, you know, you've got to feed your spirit every day. Selfishly, you've got to take 30 minutes to feed your spirit every day. You can't be good for you. You can't be good for your children, your spouse, your partner, or the community you're serving if you're not taking care of all parts of your vessel. And that's been huge. You know, Pastor Terry taught me the importance of gratitude and humility every day. Those are two words that I use a lot, but I don't use them without purpose. You know, extremely humbled by the opportunities we've been given, our organization and our role, we've been given to serve people in our state.
I think that's, you know, incredible advice for our listeners. We know you as a real progressive leader. You know, you're always into, you know, learning and developing. What are some things that you're doing to continue to grow as a leader and develop your craft?
It's tough right now. You know, when you're old like me, you've done all the IEDC workshops, you've done, you know, every potential roundtable. I think the work that y'all are doing is great. It's new and it's a whole different environment with the folks that you bring to the table. I think it brings a new energy to professional development. Outside of that, I think that trying to spend as much time with peers that I respect and my mentors to step away from the day-to-day and talk big picture and what's the environment like ahead and think some strategy. We've had a group for the last 3 years of about 15 Chamber of Commerce CEOs and economic development CEOs from across the country that we get together for 3 days and go to a small town retreat facility and do that very thing. It feeds my spirit personally and professionally.
Kind of goes back to that listening too, you know, to be able to have a retreat with your team and be able to really listen to what's next and, you know, what their thoughts are. I think that's really important when it comes to leadership. So I think that's really great advice.
Something I guess you kind of touched about our team, you know, that's something I try to talk about publicly a lot and with my teams, how much I appreciate them. But I learn from these folks every day. And so there's, you know, never underestimate the ability to learn with the people within your own house.
No, I think that's really great. So you mentioned that, you know, you've been, you know, with a couple other organizations and you've been with, you know, the South Carolina Power team for, you know, about 6 years. How did you know before you got to South Carolina Power, how did you know it was time to switch gears and to move on?
Oh, you don't want to know that story. But I would tell you that going back to Clarksville and Pastor Terry and the situation I was going through with the local mayor, you know, I started putting my name in the hat for other jobs. And as I get down the road with interviews, I realized that I was really just running away from the situation at hand. And I wasn't benefiting myself, and I certainly wasn't teaching my children anything. So, you know, I resolved that I was going to leave on my terms and when I knew it was ready. I had a former chairman a long time ago that, you know, told me, he's like, I've always known when it was time to go before they knew it was time for me to go. So gratefully, you know, we got to turn the organization around, get things back operating in the right direction. And when I left, it was on my terms. And I knew before they knew it was time for me to go. And I'll also say that for this particular gig, I had a headhunter call about this job. And the following week, I had two headhunters call about two other positions in two other states. And originally I said, I'm not interested. But in talking with my wife, she said, you know, this is, I think God trying to tell you that it's time for a new chapter. So it's important for people to be open and to listen for opportunities that they may not even think they're ready for, but be open to it. There's nothing wrong with looking out for number one. You can still be a servant leader, but make sure that you're doing the best to advance yourself and provide opportunity for yourself and your family professionally.
Yeah, because if you're not happy, you know, you're really only affecting everybody else that's around you. So I think that's, right. You know, it all goes back to listening to yourself, which, you know, again, it all goes back to listening.
I get asked a lot about, you know, will this be my final gig? Will I retire from here? I don't know. And I think anybody who says I want to retire to this position has already resigned themselves to, at some point, I'm checking out. And I just don't see myself doing that. If I am continually helping my organization evolve and we continue to play an essential role in economic development, I certainly have no reason to go seek something else. But I've learned over the last 25 years that you have to keep your heart and your mind open to what might be next or what you might be called to do next.
So 20 years in economic development.
25 years,
excuse me. So what are you most proud of during those years?
That's a big question. I think if, you know, looking back, I'm most proud of the fact that we play a role in creating hope and opportunity for the people that we serve. I got my degree in early childhood and I thought I was going to go down that path, but there are very few roles where you get to be involved in issues like education, but you don't have to be a teacher or administrator. You can be involved in public policy, but you don't have to run for public office. But in addition to that, you play a role in creating career opportunities in your own backyard and provide hope and an opportunity for somebody that maybe hasn't had that for their family or may have that for the first time for their family. I talk a lot with our team about the potential that we have as a collective to impact the trajectory of somebody's family tree. I don't know that there's a greater purpose or greater work.
You know, James, I'm going to ask you a question. We ask this to a lot of our podcast guests. I don't know if I've ever been more excited to ask this question that I am right now after listening to this entire interview. What does it mean to you to be an American?
That I can be anything and I can do anything. We get a chance to travel quite a bit, and I've seen a lot of areas of the world. I had an opportunity to go to India on a mission trip with our former governor, Nikki Haley, and I'd never been any place where I'd seen a lack of hope. When you look in somebody's eyes on the streets and you see no hope. And that was a huge moment where you realize how grateful you are for where God, you know, who God gave you in your life, who God gave me as my family, and what God has allowed me to do in my profession. Because you see, you come back and you see where we live with absolutely new eyes. You know, I had an opportunity, it was about 20 years ago, to meet Justice Clarence Thomas. He was from Pinpoint, Georgia, a small town in Georgia. And he was raised by his grandparents. And he said, you know, my grandfather made us read. And he would tell us, if you can read, you can do anything. You can be anything. And now look, you know, where he sits. And for me, I grew up in a very poor part of a neighborhood in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's where my parents grew up. It's where my grandparents grew up. But, you know, the kids that I grew up with are dead. They're teenage parents. They were teenage parents early. They didn't graduate from high school. And very few even went to college. You know, but for my parents, not accepting anything less, but certainly making sure that we knew that we could be something better than what we grew up in, the environment we grew up in. So I go back to, you know, as American, there's no other place on earth that offers people the opportunity to be anything they want to be.
I think that's so great. You know, I always say I get the pleasure of getting leadership advice all day when I get to, you know, have great guests on the podcast. And this was just such an incredible experience for me. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us on the America's Jobs Team podcast. And we love following your leadership and all that you're doing in South Carolina. And we are excited to bring our annual event to Charleston at the end of the year.
Well, we can't wait to have you back here.
Thank you so much for joining us today, James.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Wow. I am seriously so blown away by just the depth of insight and golden nuggets of advice that James just dropped in that interview. That was an amazing interview. And I am super awesomely excited to have Gray Swope on the podcast with us next week. For those of you that don't know Gray, he is the president and CEO of Vision First Advisors, which is a consulting practice. But Gray has other experience in the economic development world and has actually led economic development teams at both the local, regional, and state level, and has just amazing insights and a lot of wisdom and great energy. So I think it's going to be another amazing podcast with Gray next week, and we will see you then.